You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
It's time for our weekly catch-up with the ACT Party's Karen Chua.
The government is seeking public feedback on a proposal to reduce people's exposure to harmful and illegal content. A new independent regulator would be responsible for making sure platforms for approving codes of conduct making sure platforms comply with approved codes of conduct determined by industry leaders. For our weekly interview with the ACT Party, I asked Karen about their opposition to the proposal, which they are claiming is censorship, and National and Greens supporting Brooke Van Velden's GST sharing bill. Here is that interview. Current regulations for digital content, they predate social media and are not fit for purpose. So how would you instead propose updating our laws to consider the harms of social media?
Hey, look, so this is, I'm guessing you're speaking about the DIA's consultation document, and we're making proposals about online censorship or just regulating online behaviour. ACT has a problem with just the way that this is being done. People need to understand the laws and need to understand what they actually have to abide by. And our concern with what's being proposed here is that it will be drafted without parliamentary scrutiny or public engagement. It's been put in the hands of NGOs and academics that will write codes that dictate what people are allowed to say online. And it could go as far as to anyone with a platform, like a mailing list or anything like that. So it could cover a lot of organisations as well. And at the moment, we have a chief censor that has oversight over extreme and illegal material in this country, and they do a pretty good job. But we're just opposed against unelected and unaccountable regulator having the ability to limit New Zealanders expressing their views.
So the Department of Internal Affairs has said that this proposal wouldn't change what is illegal to do online, and that freedom of expression would be protected because they would have no power over the editorial decision-making of individual users or organisations who are sharing legal content, and that they would only intervene when the law that's already set up is being broken. So in this case, how would ACT propose we protect young people from that illegal content, so violent content, as well as stopping the spread of extremist or terrorism-related content like what we saw in Christchurch during the mosque attack? So how would ACT ensure that this illegal content isn't online?
Yeah, so there's already laws in place to deal with that illegal content, and there's already the obligation for the online platforms with what they're doing when it comes to like the live streaming of the mosque attack. So that should never have happened, and I'm pretty sure there's processes that have been put in place so that doesn't happen again, and there'll be serious consequences if that did happen again, because it is against the law what happened, and that is currently, like I said, currently already against the law. What we're looking at here is actually censorship of online, and how far does it go if it doesn't have proper scrutiny? And that's our problem with this proposal. There's actually not proper parliamentary scrutiny or public engagement about what they're drafting and about what will happen. So we might currently say that they can't legally prosecute you for this, but can they actually remove your content if they don't agree with what you're saying or doing? And this is the censorship side that we have an absolute problem with. Who actually controls what you can and can't say online, and who can just cancel you out of nowhere because they don't agree with you?
Do you believe that overseas companies like Meta and Google have enough scrutiny on them when it comes to controlling illegal content being on their platforms?
Yeah, well, this is something that we do have to address, the illegal content that is happening online, and that is something I definitely agree with addressing. But this proposal that you're talking about doesn't actually address that issue.
A key part of the proposal that they've put forward is having a system, a singular system that's easy to navigate, so that people who see harmful content are able to report it. Would you support the streamlining of this process so that users are more easily able to know where to go if they see harmful or illegal content?
Yeah, I think that's a discussion that needs to happen. But what we really need to discuss is whose hands do we put that authority in? And currently the chief censor has oversight over this stuff. And do we want to put it in their hands so that everybody knows that it's got proper scrutiny? The issue is if we're leaving it in the hands with just unelected industry, NGOs and academics to write these codes, who holds that accountability? And that is really the issue that we're talking about here.
A specific example I saw in this consultation document would be, for example, disordered eating content targeting young people. If that was identified as a risk, then there would be options for users to opt out of this content, or perhaps there could be a way for people to learn more about the potential impacts of this content, or the independent body could introduce education and school curriculums or public initiatives to educate people about harmful types of content like this. So is there any part of this proposal that you would be on board with, in particular sort of public education side of it?
Yeah, look, right now it's just a consultation document with proposed changes, and I'm pretty sure that we'll see a little bit more about it and we'll have a bit more discussion about it. Right now it's in the very early stages, but I'm like I said, we're just very concerned with the hands, with who has the accountability at the end of the day, who gets to decide what's harmful and what's not harmful. And these are the issues that the Act wants to sort out before we'd even consider the proposal. Who's actually in charge of this, and where is the accountability? Because we don't want to end up in a country where everybody is censored and nobody knows what they can and can't say anymore.
You are correct. This is in its early stages, but ACT has come out and said that any type of proposal like this would be censorship. But we've seen overseas, places like Australia, Canada, the EU, that they're starting to implement their own legislation around online content safety. So do you think that in this way it's important for Aotearoa to keep up with the rest of the world, and how would we do this?
Yeah, we just want to be, I can say this quite a few times, we want to be very careful with how we do this, because you take an inch, they might take a mile, and we don't want to end up as a country where we are so censored that we can't say certain things, and then we're putting in the hands of an unelected and unaccountable regulator to tell us what we can and can't say online. And that's where we see this going, and that's why we oppose it.
The other topic I wanted to talk to you about was the GST sharing bill that Brooke Van Velden is leading. So can you explain to our listeners who might not be aware the purpose behind this bill?
Yeah, so the purpose behind this bill is we've seen that a lot of the issues where it comes to housing and when it comes to the cost of living as well, and building new housing dealing with councils and councils not wanting to invest in that infrastructure because they don't have the money to be doing it. So one of the solutions that Brooke Van Velden has put forward and had debated last week, but it was voted down by Labor, was that we would share 50% of the GST revenue on all new residential building with councils. And we estimated that this would put about another $1 billion every year to support local development and enable infrastructure so councils could consent more. And it would also give them more money in the coffers to be able to borrow from and to be able to plan ahead for infrastructure when it comes to building new developments.
And both National and the Green Party supported this bill at its first reading last week. Green MP Chloe Swarbrick has said that they're supporting this bill because they believe that there is a need for more resource at a local government level. But they've suggested that revenue and resource sharing be expanded to all forms of goods and services that occur in certain areas. Is this something that you would support?
That's not something that I've actually had a discussion with my caucus about, and not something that I've actually thought about really right now. What we were concentrating on in this particular bill, and that's why the first reading of a bill is quite important, because that's when we decide whether we take it to the select committee stage, where the public comes in and has their say, and ideas and things like that are brought forward at the select committee stage from the public to have their say. And unfortunately, Labor decided against every other MP in the House to move this forward to select committee stage so we could have those conversations.
And that was ACT MP Karen Shaw on the political hot potatoes of today and tomorrow.
That was our weekly catch-up with the ACT Party's Karen Shaw.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.